Morning, friends. It is with joy we once again come your way by means of radio. I hope today finds you rejoicing in the blessings of the Lord. Here is a scripture with which I have been impressed since childhood. In fact, one of my school teachers would read this chapter to the class. This I have never forgotten. Isn't it a blessing to have scriptures read to children as they grow up? I am in favor of it. How about you? Don't you think we would have less problems with our society if they were more versed in the Bible? I do. But here, this scripture, it is the 19th Psalm. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night sheweth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. If you want to talk about a masterpiece of writing, this is it. This psalm is beautiful and full of instruction. There are two parts in it. The first is doctrinal. The second deals with a penitent soul. The first teaches us to know God by natural reason from the book of creation. But because this way is insufficient to save a soul, therefore, in the second part, we have a better way prescribed, which is the book of the Scriptures. This is described from verses 7 through 11. But please notice, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. By the glory of God, we are to understand his goodness, wisdom, power, and his other attributes. To further prove this, we have the constant declaration of his works, the heavens, whose magnitude, beauty, order, variety, perpetual motion, light, influence, etc., declare that there is an omnipotent, wise, good, and gracious God who is their creator. How can anyone see the beauty and glory of the heavens, their perfect operation, and not be impressed with the wisdom of God? Day and night continue to follow one another in the order of his plan. The heavens are diligent preachers, for they preach all day and all night without intermission. They seem to never grow tired or weary. In the morning the sun comes up just as fresh as it was the day before, and when it retires at the close of the day, there are the stars and the moon to take over with their chores. Isn't that wonderful? And sometimes the clouds, in performing their duties to bring refreshing showers, hide the face of the sun, moon, and stars. But be assured, the sun is still shining, as the song says, just behind the cloud. I have been thinking of the word declare. That is a positive word. To declare something means to so state in no uncertain terms. It is beyond question, according to the author. So it is with the heavens. They simply and positively declare the existence and power of God. Now, these preachers of truth are learned preachers, for they preach in every tongue. They are universal preachers, for they preach to the whole world. Their sound is gone through all the earth. You see, the folks in every country understand the language of the heavens. They speak in unmistakable terms. This fourth verse goes on to say, "In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun." The sun seems to outshine the rest. It is a thing of splendor, light, and beauty. He riseth as gloriously as a bridegroom coming from under his canopy. Even though we estimate the sun to be about 93 million miles away from the earth, the light reaches here in just a little over 8 minutes. Of course, this distance from the sun varies somewhat during the year because the orbit of the earth is not exactly circular. It is estimated the sun has a diameter of 864,000 miles, which is 109 times greater than that of the earth, and has a mass of 332,000 times as great as the earth. One encyclopedia says all life on the earth would disappear without the sun's light and heat. Not all forms of energy on earth combined would furnish even a small fraction of the energy received from the sun. So this strange and miraculous heat and light from the sun, from which nothing is hidden, seems to benefit everything. But as the declaration, even from the most glorious of creatures, is not sufficient to make men wise and happy, God has been pleased to declare himself by his written word, which is here called the law. The law of the Lord is all sufficient and perfect. It converts the soul and gives wisdom to the simple. I like the way the writer expressed it when he said, "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." He also said, "The statutes of the Lord are right." I believe that. God's way is right, regardless of what man may think about it. If God's way is observed, it works on the heart. They rejoice the heart and quiet the troubled conscience. Another verse says, "Being justified by faith, we have peace with God." These pure commandments of the Lord are opposed to all bad opinions and evil practices. Have you ever noticed the millions of tiny particles of dust floating in the air exposed to the sunlight after a room has been swept? This indicates the pollution which is present. Are you aware that it is the sun which reveals it? So it is with the law of God. It reveals the darkness and the ignorance, the doubts and fears, carnal security, false worship, etc., and gives us to see our own deformities, which the blood of Christ is able to purge away. The fear of the Lord is clean. Other religions are polluted with human inventions, strange ceremonies, uncommanded sacrifices, false gods, etc., but not so with this pure and undefiled religion. And of course, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. It is an endless law and an everlasting gospel. The writer realized that the law of the Lord was greater than gold, lots of it, and was sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. To keep them would bring a reward. But this last consideration sent the author to the throne of grace and mercy. What a reward, a great reward, and only to those who keep the law of God? Do you suppose his conscience told him that the reward was not for him, especially when he thought of his public sins, secret faults, and errors? But he had at hand three means of help. 1, confession of sin. 2, petition for grace. And 3, faith in the divine mercy through the great Redeemer. No doubt he knew he was an offender, but he knew not how greatly he had offended. He saw that he was guilty and asked pardon. He felt that he was impure and asked cleansing. Listen again at his words. Who can understand his errors? cleanse thou me from secret faults. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, even as the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, help us in turn to acknowledge that glory and power and receive from you the thing we need to be continually preserved by thy grace from the pollution of the world. We realize that the pollution of the soul is much worse than the pollution of this life. Keep us ever and always in thy presence, and thine shall be the praise through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, friends, for a few moments of your time. If you have received a blessing, we'd be so glad to hear from you. Address your letter to the Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma.
In this world I've tried most everything, and I'm happy now to say there is nothing like religion in the good old-fashioned way. I am walking in the old-time way, and I want the world to know that I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go that I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. There are many things I'd like to be as my journey I pursue. I have longed to be a leader like a mortal man would do. I would like to be a millionaire with a million to bestow. But I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go that I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. All the world is bright since I got right. Now I sing and pray and shout. All my burdens have been lifted since the Savior brought me out. I will tell the world both far and near as I travel here below that I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go that I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know.
Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.